found out the truth, hasn't he? And he should be finding out by now that he does himself in. He becomes totally irrational. And in his irrationalness, he turns to addiction, which is alcohol. And therefore, he becomes entirely and incredibly irrational. And then instead of handling a discourse on network radio or television with dignity and professionalism, he turns around and screams at them, "Oh, you're just sticky dicky." When the adversary is much more on top of it, and he hits him again, and more irrational. This loses credibility. The story is true. He's even got the dates down now the way they're pretty damn good. I want to tell you, the man has research, and he's got stuff to back it up. But until his attitude changes.
I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt you. Just keep you for a second. He is. Okay, we're going to have the power off.
Are we all right?
Mm-hmm.
The power is going off.
I would suggest that anyone who had availability to hear Cooper and see his pictures take advantage of that. Unfortunately, he does usually charge pretty dearly for this. I don't even fault the man for that. But you cannot harbor truth. You cannot grab it and stuff it somewhere. I don't care who you are. If you are in control or in possession of truth at this time of a transition, you are here for a purpose, whether or not you realize it. And if great gifts of knowledge and insight are given unto you, there is purpose in that. And if you think you're going to be allowed just to scoop it all up and hide it and make people pay to have it, you better think again. That truth belongs to God, and God will use it. And if you do not share your portion properly, pretty soon you won't have it. And yet, always, every opportunity will be given into the ability to share it with the proper parties. I'm not going to make a speech here as to what Bill Cooper should do, or Bruce Cathy, or Bill Bright. They will be guided into doing that which they need to do. But only so long will this mine, where a planet is at stake, be tolerated. Because that indicates you did not understand the journey. Nor the commission.
So the best way for me to get it clear in my own mind, to think of the whole fall on Lucifer, is that he made a choice, whether he understood the consequences or not, he most likely did, but he made the choice to experience the way he chose, he wanted to. Is that more or less clear?
Let me give you how it was, and then you see how you can equate to that.
Okay.
Because, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't like that. This beautiful being was created at the highest level of creation. You didn't stumble around, crawling around like fish. You were created as man. And the most beautiful perfection was created. In the creation thereof, this being was given all knowledge, all things, ability to create and ability to uncreate that which he had created. But he was not given into being within the oneness. God sought separation. Let's just say God would like a little company. Anyway, you have this wonderful, wonderful creation. who was also given the right of choice. It was not giving man of earth the right of choice that could possibly have been considered an error to God. It was his first creation, if you want to call it that. And that was no accident. A creator must know, must have a guideline. If you're going to build a Cadillac, you don't start with a spacecraft. You start usually with a Ford Model T. Well, he started with a spacecraft. But it housed Model T parts. It did not know how to operate according to perfection. But then, what would be the experience of man worth? You would only need the one. You would not need fragments if all were perfection. You'd be right where he was. One, perfect, fragment in a perfect universe. Wishing to experience various and sundry things, for it says. So he created the perfect being. I mean perfect. He was already perfection. He created something that could represent imperfection. So that there would be two relative things to balance one against the other. There would be no choices. There would be no need for a physical experience. There would be nothing, once again, except oneness with God.
So when he fragmented himself, is what you're saying?
Yes.
And that's when the imperfection was created according
to him. Deliberately, too.
Deliberately, so that he could continue his creation, or a co-manifestation creation with each fragment, or understanding, or evolvement.
Very good. That's right. Very good. Now this got out of control, as most things are wanting to do. And who am I to say even that much? Because each of you as a fragment experiencing free will sometimes outdo Lucifer, I'm telling you. He would not claim you. Except that he wishes he'd thought of that. And when it gets just about as bad as it can get, then it either comes back the other way or the place is absolutely isolated forever and ever and ever. Now I'm telling you, I'm warning you, once that cycle ends, and you have locked yourself by pure choice, and I'm not talking about maybe being over here where you're experiencing a game. You know, I'm not that bad. I don't want to go with that one. But I want to tell you there are some going to go with that one. And they will be separated out. And their first incarceration is always at least 1,000 of your years. And then most often we make our second mistake. Let's see how far you've grown. We're going to let you up out of that pit, you slithery slimes, slimy little pew. And we're going to see what you're going to do. Oh, on good behavior for a while. And then temptation comes back in. And as long as there is physical manifestation, because that is the test again, you have got to go through the physical compression again, where you're going to get the same temptation, the same pull into the physicalness that you had before. What will you do with it this time? The plum is always held forth for you. And early on in the journeys, the form is recognizable. God's there, showing you the way. Very often, in a spacecraft, it will get the children across the wilderness. But you see, it really doesn't matter, does it? They still turned away. With his manifestation right there in front of them all day and all night, feeding them, they still turned away. That's called the physical pull. This is the temptation. And this is what Lucifer was created to be, the tempter.
Boy, what is
it? Well, planet after planet is occupied because that element is isolated just as you would isolate hardened criminals. I'm talking about dedicated criminals. Just as you would effort at isolation of those ones that are destructive, so does the cosmos isolate these energies that are destructive. Now, higher believing energies, let us say that in between incarnations, you made it to this level. And now you're going to try it again. You might very well, always you will come back higher or with a higher capability. You may not use it. You may backslide. But given into the truth of it, you will usually progress, even in this physical dimension. Before the journey is over in a given dimension, you will usually have reached the level of knowledge for that cycle. You're not given to know. You're not even given to know how many times you've been around, much less how many times Joe Blow next door has been around. So his level of ability to understand cannot even be measured against yours. Because maybe you're even dumber. You may be ahead of him, but he may have done it in a lot shorter period of time. And this is where you get this perception of karma, which to me, you see, functioning from a higher dimension doesn't mean anything. It is not a punishment or you did something bad, you're going to have to pay. That is just the cause and effect reaping of what you sow. And it may come forth in karma. However, karma is something that you go through willingly in order to go above whatever it was that you didn't understand. And what else do you have to do in infinity? You think you've got to rush through this one to get to what? You may spend a billion years in between in existence. So why do you have to just exist now? You can do that next time. And I know this is, I'm running this by you. I'm trying to figure out. Because as we get closer in acceleration of time, these questions come up more and more and more. People are getting a little sick of hearing about how naughty Bush is. Well, this has got to be understood. But what ultimately you must understand is your sequence of traversing this place. That's the truth that makes the difference. What we're giving you now is the truth of what you've established here and why it is so difficult for you to pull out of it. That's called the awakening. Wake you up. Wake up. Hear me. Wake up. You'll hear a bride say it. I'm just trying to wake people up to what went over in the Golden Triangle. And as you begin Don't you watch the news with a different eye now? I'll tell you, when Armitage comes up there being, when it doesn't go too well for Gaines, for the CIA, like it didn't before. Oh, well, okay. I guess I won't argue this. It's going to depend on where the power is at the moment. He may not have to go this full route. But let us just say that those dumb congressmen don't let Gates in again. You said it'd be better if they just put Gates in like that. Because this does end the rest of Bush's plan. He'd have to think of something else. Because the plan is to have Armitage come in as his advisor and Scowcroft over there as head of the CIA. Because Armitage is the tail of the lizard that Bush heads in the drug cartels of the world. And I want to tell all of you, don't fool yourselves. They are tangled in with the Church of Rome and the Mafia. And that's where the money goes, to the Mafia. In great, great sums. Just when you think you've got it separated, I hate to do this, but I'm going to, and the reason I'm pulling this book to a close, and I've got so many subjects going that I know you're aggravated with me.
No, no, it's just better and better and better.
Well, I'm glad you think so, because I am going to start tomorrow on the rerum.
Oh, good. I'm involved in that.
Novarum.
Intuition thing.
Rerum, I'm not going, I don't do well with Latin, I don't do well with English, but it's something like rerum. Rerum, rerum novarum.
Right.
Thank you.
Of new things.
This was established in 1891 by Pope Leo the 13th.
So getting me started with my old social stuff, particularly Prophet Mohammed. Which is the follow-up on it 30 years later, 40 years later.
Well, this Pope has been put from Poland, has been put into place to serve at this time of the centennial, 100 years of that one point of new things, to put the new world order and cement it in with the global one world government. And it is ugly. It has controlled so many, that church. And through that organization is a major player within the one world government. So when you say you can look for a beast out of Rome, yes, you can. And it is forming into a coalition this week with Israel and Russia. It's done, precious ones, do you see? But they haven't made their final ties. They've got other players in place. And they've got substitutes if one of these gets knocked out somewhere. The world is in foreclosure. Any way you add it up, the world is in foreclosure. America is in foreclosure. The bankers, the banksters, the anti-God is closing down the accounts. When you see the little nations destroyed, that is intentional. They made foreclosure. They couldn't pay their loans. It is usury that did it. If you cannot pay the loans, how in the world can you pay the loans and the interest? And then when you have to go by the rules of the bank, and the bank sets up the rules so that you cannot grow the proper food to be independent, nor pay the bill, and you have everything in your country up as collateral, including the lives of your people, and they foreclose, the nation is dead. And your resources go into the conglomerate of bankers. And that's what's happened to every nation in your world. This is foreclosure time. Some will be shored up until the proper time to pull it down and bind you. All of you have to know that regardless of the timing involved, some things may slip a little here, or they may slip a little there, or they may have been expected to go one way, and the big boys find a better way to pull it off and keep you in the dark a little longer. Or they will attempt something only to find it's premature. They haven't done enough homework. They haven't killed enough people in the ghetto to get your attention. And they know you won't tolerate your guns being confiscated. They expected to have your guns confiscated by 1965. Doesn't that scare the daylights out of you? It does me. And I don't have to be down there. In 1961, they had a major, major meeting and decided exactly how they were going to do it. They were going to, within 2 years, have the local police department with their guns basically confiscated. All of you would be weaponless. Why? Because at that point, the local police department would rise up in your behalf. No more, friends. They've got the Russians over here working with them. And guess what? According to the United Nations Charter, it will come under one global police force headed by a Soviet Union man, a Russian. It's in the Charter. It has to be. It has to be. It's planned that way. So they send their delegations over here, and you send yours over there. And it looks good. They just go through, you know, and oh, we're just working hand in hand. No. They are laying the hierarchy and infrastructure for the global police force. They have deliberately drugged your country. They have deliberately given weapons to your children, so that they will go out there and kill each other. And you will scream for a law to stop it. Wait a week for a handgun? Of course. You can wait 20 years for a handgun. Who cares? But the moment you sign up for one, you are on their list. Along with, you will be surprised at the questions they will ask. And it goes into the beast. You're already marked. Don't misunderstand me for a minute. And I'm incensed that the human masses just float without any concept whatsoever of reason. There isn't one criminal going to go down there and register for a gun. He knows he won't get it. If he waits 20 years, he'll get arrested, is what he'll do. So no self-respecting criminal is going to go register. Give you nice people. And then you're going to sit and you're going to wait your nice week. And then you're going to go down there and fill out some more papers and sign your name. And get your gun. And they've got you nailed. And when they come to get that gun, I'm telling you, friend, you better have it to give to them. Or they'll get it out of you one way or another. This is it. This is the big ball game. This isn't the skirmish. And you can see it closing in, crawling, creeping, like the slime it is. And I don't like having to deal in it. I don't like even having, I wish I could stand on the edge of the craft and just yell with my megaphone and say, all you who belong to me, get over here now. I like the ad where they're fishing and they're drinking beer and it's time to fish. And the guy gets up and says, oh, is it time to fish? Yes, they all decide it is. And he says, get in here. And they all just hop in. And he says, there's nothing to this fishing. And one says, oh, but that one's too little. And the other one says, get out. And he's gone. Well, that's what I'd like to do. All of you with me, on. If you have doubts, you can wait till the end of the line. And if you really don't like me, off. But we're not given that, are we? We're given a mess of people blind, and God promised that he would allow them to know. He didn't say he was going to force anybody to believe. And he especially did not give us that commission, for we have no right to interfere in what a man believes. We can lay our truth out there and it will stand. And only through a period of time will man understand. And that's why we don't use magic. I didn't say miracles, because miracles are all about you. Every day, every breath. Every breath that feeds life to this piece of machinery is a miracle. Every vision that you have from an eye is a miracle. That is a miracle beyond comprehension. How you get a picture on a lens and you see, once the breath of life is gone, there is no receiver for the vision. The lens is fine, else the Mossad wouldn't be plucking out eyeballs, would they? From dead bodies.
Is it reasonable for me to say that one that has reached their crisis perfection, such as Bernard, that it would not be logical for them to play adversarial games anymore after they've gone through those levels and reached that perfection?
Yes.
Is that reasonable?
That's very reasonable.
Doesn't it start lower than that?
Yes, it does. But see, she speaks a great deal for what Sananda says, mm-hmm. and why he does something. And it's one reason, Desiree, that I get saddled with this kind of a lecture, whereas Sananda does not usually have to deal with it, because of that very thing. He is himself the adversary of evil. He is the Satan of evil. Satan, S-A-T-A-N, means simply defined adversary. And I would hope that all of us are adversaries against injustice, unkindness, lies, deceit, things that are not of God. So actually, the term he no longer serves an adversarial purpose is not quite right. I know what you mean, and so will your audience. But we must be explicit sometimes, because you may get nailed on it, and you need to know how to answer it, if you do.
Well, the way she put it was, she said, you can't say that someone in higher realm will not change their mind and become an adversary. And, well, I guess I can't say that, because obviously Lucifer did.
No, it is not only not logical, that is not what happened.